The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, send a message, Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you miss the first hour, well, then you miss the fact that it is the 10-year anniversary of The Blitz with Fred and AJ. We're going to have some guests on today that I'm very excited about that were a big, big part of this. And our first one, no offense to Aaron, I think the MJ of radio producers as far as all of Houston, not just sports radio. You know him as the master, our good friend Jong Lee. Jong, what's going on, buddy? I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Finally, the Jong has come back to ESPN 97.5. I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys?
We're good, man. We're good. What's been going on in the world of Jong Lee? What's the latest?
Well, I enrolled in journalism school, and it's online, so I really haven't been... Nothing's really changed for me because, you know, I wake up, you know, let the dogs out, go work out, start my classes, and then just stay at home mostly. So nothing has been disrupted. It's just disrupted on my part.
That's one of the questions we get, I mean, all the time. Like, what's Jong up to? Where's Jong at? Like, when you left our show, I mean, did you decide that you're radioed out and you're looking for something new altogether? Or are there ever any plans to get back into it?
There kind of was, but I didn't necessarily like it, so I kind of took a step back and I decided, this is a good time to get my real estate license. I got that, And then, by the way, real estate, the classes are so boring. I looked over everything and I go, you know what? I talked to Dave here and there once in a while, and he's like, you should really think about getting back into radio. You're good at like teaching young producers and teaching people, you know, the ropes. And then Teresa suggested you should become a teacher and combining those two things. And so, I'm about to get my, you know, teacher certificate. And this whole coronavirus thing happens, and it puts me off track for about a year because I need observations. And I can't get observations now because, obviously, there's no school. So I have to wait a whole calendar year before I can start teaching. So, right now I'm just going to double up on my course load for journalism school, and then hopefully I get hired next year.
And what's the plan? To do some writing? Is that what you're looking to do?
Eventually, my big goals are to maybe become following in Fred's footsteps, become a professor and go down that path. But I think I'm going to start with high school, and then I'm going to see if I can get into to become the journalism teacher. And once I have my master's, I might think about switching over to community college. And then I may think about getting a master's, which may be very, very – oh, not a master's, a PhD, which – maybe very, very difficult to do.
Look at you. Look at you, a grown-up.
Can you believe it?
No. John, well, when you were here and the first day that I showed up, well, I guess not the first day I showed up, but the first day that I officially was working here, had someone said, hey, is this show going to really last? Do these guys know what they're doing? What would your thoughts have been? How'd you feel about the show when you first heard it?
Well, your tryout, like Fred said earlier in the show, your tryout didn't quite go as smooth as that we wanted it to go. But the thing is, though, it's like you were LeBron James coming into a high school gym. The rest of the competition was not stellar. So it was you were basically playing left-handed for the entire game and still put up 50 points.
Okay. But, I mean, now the competition for that job was one thing, but did you think that our show was going to be able to compete in the marketplace, I guess, is the bigger question.
I mean, I had no doubts that it wouldn't. Like, I mean, I was a bright-eyed kid. I was like less than a year in the business. So, you know, I kind of saw everything as like, oh, you know, once you make it into a, you know, weekday show, you know, you last a while. And quickly, everybody was like, no, it's very hard to last this long or last long at all. But I think just working with you, both of you guys, every single day and seeing how much work goes into prepping for a show, I think it gave me the confidence of, this show is going to last. And now, I don't know if I would have guessed it would have lasted and gotten to places where that I probably would have sat there and told you, maybe not. I don't think you would have gotten to where we were being number one for almost the entire damn year. And you guys continue to, you know, be very, very successful. I don't know if in my wildest imaginations, if I would have sat there and told you, yeah, that's where we're going to go. But I thought the show was going to be good.
Go ahead, Fred.
I was going to say, one of my favorite stories, though, is how Tepper and I told Jong that you were going to be the replacement. And I'm not going to say who it was, but we'd been through a whole bunch of tryouts. And let's just say most of them were a disaster to the point where I was blaming myself. It's just like, okay, I'm just not any good because I can't work with these guys. But we go into Jong and we tell him, hey, we're hiring this guy. And you should have seen the look on his face. I mean, he's like, okay. And then we told him, oh, no, we're just kidding. It's going to be AJ. But
I'll have to hear who that person was off the air.
Yeah, because I don't want to call him out. But I'll never forget the look on your face, John, when we told you that. You were like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, no, he was the worst one out of all of them.
Is it someone who worked with us?
No. Someone that I don't think he works in the market anymore, but he worked in the market for quite some time. What the funny thing is, and I think a lot of people know this, and I think Raheel's talked about this a lot, or not a lot, but he's mentioned it, but he was actually up for that job, and he got cold feet and backed out, and 1560 made him an offer he couldn't refuse, and then that's when Dave got the permission to look outside the market, and then was like, hey, let's bring him in. He's really, really good, and he does spots for us for MMA. I think he's going to be very, very good, and Madani... Or no, not Madani at the time. It was Donna at the time gave me permission to.
No, it was Peter Remington.
Oh, that's right. It was Peter. He gave Dave the permission to call you.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I mean, to come here, I had to take a pay cut, first of all. Then they were like, well, we also, we don't know if we can give you health insurance. And I was like, listen, you're asking me to move across the state, leave a show where I'm doing pretty damn well, give up, you know, a good chunk of money and not have health insurance. And, you know, finally, after some long conversations, I at least got some health insurance. I still had to take a pay cut. But I mean, I'll be honest, you know, thinking you're coming here to Houston, to a big market, it felt like I was going backwards at first. I was like, what the hell has happened? I've made a great mistake coming here. There was some stuff that I was like, What is going on? This shouldn't be happening in a major market radio station. But luckily, some sense finally came to the place.
I mean, what are the odds? I'm just looking back on my 10 years there. What are the odds that, like, to be where you guys are now with all the stupid stuff that we've done and to be on the verge of getting fired a handful of times, what are the odds that you guys would have put – on making it 10 years in a drive time spot, being number one for so many years?
I'll be honest. When I met you guys, I said, oh, my God. I mean, there were times, and probably not at first, because at first everybody's bright-eyed, and it's, you know, but once you start to get to know each other, it's like, what am I doing here? This isn't going to work. Fred and I's chemistry is horrible.
You have an agent as a producer.
Yeah, I mean, an Asian who can't do math. I mean, it was just a disaster. And no, I would have never believed that this thing would have lasted 10 years. So, I mean, it's kudos to everybody involved. And, you know, I think at one point, you know, all three of us had to sort of be a voice of reason in the room. And I'm glad that we were at different times, because, you know, who knows where we'd be if one of us had ever, you know, had blown up and said, no, this isn't working the way I want it to work. But I give credit to you guys as well, because every one of us went through some crap to get this show where it got.
Well, and John will remember this, but right before you came in was when the station itself was just a mess. And this is when Cumulus owned us, and we had to do furloughs. And, dude, we were just so lucky to be able to work and have jobs. We were willing to do anything to make that damn show work.
Well, Jung, the most famous story probably of the Blitz overall is the day that Fred pepper sprayed you. I mean,
I remember that time fondly.
Yeah, I mean, is this something that people still ask you about?
Not really. I think people that I meet for the first time, and sometimes I've gotten this once or twice where. I may be like one of the few Jong Lees that you may know, and then all of a sudden they wait, you used to work on the radio? And I was like, yeah. And I go, wait, you're the one that got pepper sprayed? I go, yeah, that's me. And I get that a couple times. I was at Chase one time. I was just sitting there, and then just this one of the bankers just comes up to me and throws a Blitz reference. And I go, huh? And he goes, oh, you're Jong Lee, right? You used to work on the Blitz. I mean, I get that. I haven't gotten that a lot, but I've gotten that maybe three or four times in the past year.
Is it you're permanently famous now as a person who got pepper sprayed?
No. I mean, if one thing I could take back in my career, I think I'd take that pain away. But I think, you know, doing that would take away from what made the show the show.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, that was a big moment for the show, and and you became a star that day, Jung. Now, maybe not wisely, Fred didn't know how to run the board. I mean, that was, I mean, of all the things that we talked about this, I mean, for hours leading up to it, that Fred was going to get on the board and take us to break, and then he couldn't come through when the time came. So, well, Jung, listen, man, the memories are great. 10 years is a long time for us, and you were a massive part of that, not only, of putting it together, but getting us as far down the road as we did. So we'll always appreciate you, man. You're always a friend to the Blitz, as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate it. And I'm going to plug one thing. I'm going to be on with Barry on Sunday, I think maybe around 6 or 7, so for his Facebook Live thing. So if you guys want to check that out, check it out.
All right. Are you still doing a Comicast?
Yeah, yep. I'm doing
even with
it,
no new stuff coming out?
And then we're going to be doing... We're going to be doing some Facebook stuff. We're going to be doing some YouTube stuff here in the near future. I learned a little bit from Barry about how to put all that together.
Awesome.
Well, I think you will make a fantastic teacher, my man. Your fingerprints are still all over the station with people that you've worked with and helped grow. And we miss you. We love you. And thank you for coming on, man.
I appreciate it, guys. I love you guys, too.
All right. Jung Lee, the master, the legend. All right, let's take a very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, special 10-year anniversary show. And, man, it was good to hear from John. He's still one of the best human beings I've ever known. And I think he'll be a fantastic teacher, man. I really do.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He's a pain in the ass, but yeah, no, Jung's a great dude, man. And like I said, a big architect into to what this show ended up becoming. So I'll always be grateful to him.
Well, and so is the guy we're going to have on at 5:30. And since he's already tweeted it out, Dave Tepper is going to join us, which can't wait to talk to Dave, man. I miss that guy a lot. He was so instrumental in everything that's happened for us, and plus always supported us, and even when there's some times he probably shouldn't have. So so it'll be fun to have him on as well. And a couple people were asking this. Yo, Fred, I read an article today about radio ratings. Looks like 610 is kicking y'all's butt. How'd that happen? Who really listens to them? Well, first off, they've had a couple of really good books, so good for them.
Yep.
But please be careful about reading David Barron articles about radio, because he only writes when 610 is doing well, and he makes it sound like it's a lot better than it is. There was no mention of any other shows' ratings or anything like that. So just take it with a grain of salt. I worked with David for years, still consider him a friend, but that's not a subject that I'm, not a subject that I think is covered very well. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. No, and you're right. They've gotten the best of us the last couple of books. So I give them credit.
Yeah, props to them. But don't think we're not going to keep trying to beat their ass. And don't think for a moment we won't be back on top at some point. So, but yeah, good. You know, that's the thing. Hey, I'm happy to puff our chest out when we win. I'm also happy to say, you know what, we're going to do better, and we'll go out and kick their ass. So. At least that's the plan. And, you know, it's always going to be an uphill battle going against the Texan station. That's why when you do win, it's a big deal. So, especially when the Texans keep giving them content.
That's right.
My goodness. But yeah, I mean, that's, and right now it's, you know, the way the situation is, I mean, we really don't even know who's out there with meters, because who knows who's able to work, who knows who's listening on the radio. You know, it's just, it's a weird time, but you know, I have a pretty good feeling that as we go farther into this and there's less sports, well, I think we're better than everybody at that.
I like our chances.
Yeah. Yeah. And then 346 asks, any chance of playing the pepper spray clip? We've done that on some best dubs a few times.
I don't think we have time today. Certainly.
No. No, it's because it's 30 minutes, and it's, you know, it's hilarious, and then the aftermath is even more hilarious, and
and uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing about that whole situation was when they called us in to tell us they were suspending us for a day, and AJ and I had already talked that it's like, yeah, man, I hope they suspend us for like 3 days, and we build up some tension and really create a buzz over this, you know, and turn it into a positive. And we sit down with Donna and Dave at the time, and she's like, we're suspending you for a day. And I'm like, well, why not the rest of the week? We're in a ratings battle. We can't afford to have you off the air. But what sucked was the first show we did back, because Cumulus is based in Atlanta, so all the bigwigs in Atlanta were listening to us.
Oh, for like a week we had to toe a line.
and poor AJ and I are just sitting there being about as vanilla as we could be, because we didn't want to say anything that was going to get us in trouble.
And they told us not to mention what had happened, and that's all anybody wanted to talk to us about. I mean, like,
yeah,
national website, Deadspin, I mean, and we weren't allowed to talk about it. It was really unfortunate. Like, we didn't get to capitalize on it the way we would if we were here at Gal when that had happened, because they just – they didn't think that the publicity was good publicity.
Yeah, and the reality is, once we did get over here, and I was doing the show with Dave one day, we brought David Gow in and said, hey, can we do this? He's like, yeah, absolutely, it'll be great. And so we got a whole new run of on it after then. But, yeah, and all kidding aside, AJ and I were trying to think about how we leverage that to get as much attention as possible, and they just totally shut us down.
Yeah.
And then when we know they're listening to us, we're just sitting here doing straight sports and no jokes. And you could just see it on AJ's face. He wanted to cry half the time because he'd think of something really funny and then stop himself. And then it was like, oh my God. And then finally one day, after a couple of days of that, we both just kind of looked at each other and said, bleep this, man. Let's just do the show. If they don't like us, they can get rid of us. So, and it's been fine ever since. But the hardest part was people asking us about it. And I think we've always been straight with people about stuff. And we've always wanted to, you know, if you ask us, we'll answer. And we couldn't. And that sucked. Yeah.
Well, now we can. It's all good now. But, yeah, that was an awkward time, certainly.
Yeah, it was, but it was unforgettable. At some point, and you know, Aaron and I talked about doing this at one time, and I think we'll probably put something together. Just go and get like all of some of the best moments that we've had over the years, and put them together in an audiobook and make them available for people here when we get past the Rona. Because there's a lot of stuff going back. Even as much as we talk about the. Your tryout, there was some funny ass stuff in that show. That was the crow eating show.
Yeah,
that was the show where you probably got blocked by Ben Roethlisberger.
doesn't take much. That's no badge of honor these days.
I remember it being one of the funniest things I've ever heard when you said, "Yeah, he'd be really good if he were just a little less rapey." So there's been some cool moments that we'll put together for the people, and maybe that's how we'll keep the charity thing going. We'll put that together, sell it, and donate some of the proceeds to help that offset what we're not going to make from poker here moving forward. But Greg says, fun fact, the pepper spray incident was my first time ever tuning into the Blitz. Been a fan ever since.
Well, that's a good day to tune in.
Yeah.
The greatest part of the aftermath was. In my mind, I was like, oh, I know what will help is putting milk on it. Milk will take away the heat. And there was no milk in the fridge, but there was a piece of coconut cream pie. And so I'm smashing coconut cream pie all over Jong's face when our GM walks in. And it's like, what the hell are we doing here? And I was like, I'm trying to fix it. That's, yeah. There was some great times.
Not wise, guys.
And if anybody who actually wants to hear it, I mean, we're going to talk to Tepper in the next segment, so I suggest holding out. But anybody who wants to hear it, Lamont just tweeted it out. So if you want to hear it, you can get it.
Yeah, just wait till the end of the show. 281 asks, is there anything you wish you could bring back, like games or whatever, like the Jong show and stuff like that? I'd like to think that it'd be fun to do another one of those Valentine's type games. That was hilariously awkward. But, I don't know. I mean, we always try to keep moving forward and doing other stuff and coming up with new things. So I don't really look back and say, oh, I wish we were still doing this as much as... Hey, what's the next thing we can do?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I most of the bits on our show have had a good run, good healthy shelf life. But yeah, I'm always looking for the next thing too.
That's we try to do that not just with the show, but with our business and with our other jobs. We're always trying to stay ahead of what's out there, as opposed to okay, this worked, let's just keep doing it. Because it won't work forever. And, I don't really think there's anything. Chic tweets were fun, but then everybody started doing them. So, we moved on to the next thing. Moved on to Alex Jones and Coleman Milk and things like that. So, Eugene says, one of the funniest moments for me is AJ taking David Delotti's promo read and reading it out loud, making fun of all his grammar. That was great.
Yeah, I don't know how David Delotti. I don't know how he read that. I mean, it was nonsense.
Well, and he always nailed it.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's all shorthand for him. But I mean, like, just if a regular person came in there and looked at it, it was ridiculous.
Somebody mentioned drunk Jong singing karaoke used to be great.
That was good
when
too.
He did the Adele thing. That was, we had him a little drunk
once or twice.
Yeah.
But, a lot of people wishing that we would have had Beth on to put a foxtail on you for our 10-year reunion.
Oh, man, that would have been cool.
You doing the show with a foxtail in? I think it would have been great.
You know what? For Beth, I probably would do it. just one time.
Yeah.
As much as you guys gave me grief over it, not wanting to do anything like that, I probably would do it just for her.
I think what you should do is when you grow out your ponytail, once it gets too long, you cut that, we'll glue it to a butt plug, and you can make your own horse tail.
I don't want to cut my hair, though. I want it to grow as long as it'll grow.
Well, I mean, eventually you're going to have to cut it.
I hope not. Like I said, I'm going full Lebowski, man.
I don't know if that's a good idea, Fred.
Well, I'll get it trimmed, but, you know, I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. It's just nice to have hair again. So my first thing is just let it grow out and get it nice and long and get the old rock and roll look going again and then do something goofy when we come back on air with it. And then after that, eventually I might get it styled and cut shorter, but we'll see. So
Greg says one of the best was when AJ got into it with White Magic. I don't even think that was on our show. That was on either the morning – I think it was on the morning show, or it may have been on The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, it was The Suspects.
Yeah, but that was – yeah, that wasn't even on our show.
Yeah, and then he was supposed to come to Nick's place to fight you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. So he said, I moved to Houston in 2010, been listening since. Before the app, I'd go eat lunch in my car to listen to you guys in the lunchtime spot. Well, guys, I can't tell you how much we appreciate everybody who's been here from the beginning and everybody who's been here lately. I mean, we just, you know, it means a lot that you guys have stuck with us through a lot of things. Let's take a quick break. Excited to have Dave Tepper join us next. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys about my good friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. And listen, it's a great time to get your windows redone. And you might think, oh, that doesn't make sense. Like, you know, maybe people are in a spot where they're hurting for money. Well, great news. Allstate Siding and Windows, with new windows, new siding, you're going to save money during the summer months, during the hottest months of the year. You could save up to 40% on your electric bills. And with their spring special, there's no payments due for 2 years. $2,500 off siding, 30% off all window packages. You guys, they've got discounts for first responders. They've got cash discounts. They've got senior discounts. This is the company that you want to do business with, guys. They're family-owned and operated for over four generations. For the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Special 10 years of Fred and A.J. on The Blitz Show. And our next guest will need no introduction, but I'll do it anyway. And it's kind of funny because earlier this week I just sort of reached out to him just to check on him and how he was dealing with the Rona. And I wasn't even thinking about the whole 10-year thing. And then we started talking about it. Like, oh, God, we got to have Dave Tepper on the show. What's going on, brother?
Gentlemen, is today the actual 10-year anniversary day itself?
Sunday is. May 3rd would be the 10-year anniversary. But I don't plan on coming in on Sunday.
No, but you have an hour and a half to get fired and not make it. So best of luck.
That is entirely true. Entirely true.
Good to hear from you guys, man. Thanks for having me on this special celebration. I'm very proud of you guys, man. You guys are truly as special of a story as I've been lucky enough to be a small part of. And I tell people that anytime they ask. So thanks for having me on today.
Well, Dave, you are the reason that this thing got put together. I mean, do you want to talk about the process of how the blitz came to be?
I'd love to, man, because it's such a wild story, and you know, the thing with it is, the irony of it about it is, it started in a bit of a crisis as well, as Fred may remember, and Matt Dean would remember, John Lee might remember. Basically, it was back in 2008, and the economy was a mess. And so because of that, a lot of different companies were firing people, and Cumulus at the time, or your previous owners there, you know, they put people out on furlough. And so I was just, you know, I don't know, maybe a year or so, 2 years into my programming gig, maybe not even that. Jeez, it was actually that first year, 2008, when I became the program director. And one of the first things I had to do is manage that. So Julie Takahashi and Calvin Murphy and I were doing the afternoon drive show at the time. And we needed to find something to put in there while we were furloughed for the week. So, Freddie, man, you remember you and Matt Dean doing the poker show, right? That was like weekends, and was it like Tuesday nights or something?
We were doing the front page on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and then we were doing the main event poker show on Monday nights.
And okay.
That's what we were doing.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm like, well, what are we going to do with, you know, when we're off? I thought these guys are halfway decent. I mean, geez, I know, can't be any worse than Calvin, Julie, and I, that's for sure. So we put two guys on in afternoon drive to cover that time slot. Do you remember that, Fred?
I do. And then, and that was like the first week we did, and people hated us, but it was fun to do. And I also remember that, and a lot of people won't know about this, but you had tried to put us on during middays, and you had it all set up, and we were going to do a 2-hour show, and then ESPN got really pissed off because we were going to cover up SVP. And so we had to cancel it. So that's when I took the teaching job and was planning to leave. And then like 2 weeks later, you somehow got it cleared. And I'm like, oh, crap, now I've got two jobs.
Yeah, dude, it was a mess. I mean, it was an absolute mess. But I remember how you guys handled that furlough week. I'm sitting at my house, and I'm listening to you guys, and I'm going, these guys are pretty good. I'm thinking, like, if we were ever able to do something in middays or something like that, I mean, I totally put these guys on the air. I mean, you guys did a really, really nice job with it. So as some of the positives that came out of that time, I said, hey, we've got these guys that, you know, we should think about doing something in middays. So, you know, the original idea, I mean, there was no faith in the show, really. If you remember, Fred, I mean, nobody thought that you guys could really win there except for us. And I remember the company was saying, look, we have an opportunity to at least sell some local ads here. We don't expect you to win. I mean, Jim Rome is on. This is one of his biggest markets. And so let's at least just put these guys on and try to generate some revenue. And obviously we believed in ourselves. Not many others did. But, yeah, they said go ahead and do it. And I remember we had a really cool promotion going for it. We had like 2 weeks worth of countdown days that we were doing, saying we're going to be local in middays. And we were. I remember one of the executives who remained nameless, I guess, at this point in time, he told me, listen, I'm going to reach out to ESPN. All you got to do is handle the promotion, make this thing a big deal. So we did our best to do that, right? We were all excited for it. And literally the Friday before the show was supposed to start on Monday, I get this call from the same executive, and he says, hey, we can't do this. And I said, what's the deal here? And he says, well, the communication was not had with ESPN, and they are pissed, and they are threatening to pull the affiliation if we do this now. So I don't know what to tell you, but show's not happening. And, man, Fred, I mean, remember that disappointment? I mean, I totally understood your disappointment, Matt Dean's disappointment, John, myself. I mean, that was rough, man.
Yeah, it was. And I remember us sitting in the – and it had been in the paper and everything else. And
yeah.
And, you know, and you're having to tell us. And I could tell you it was hurting you worse than it was us. But, yeah, we were devastated. I'm kind of like, well, okay, I'm going to – it's probably time for me to find something else to do. And then I think I wound up taking the teaching job, and it wasn't that much longer after where you called us in and had good news. It's like, okay, we can do this now. I don't know what made them change their mind, but it really wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, you all know me, man. I'm just like, I'm not giving up on this. We're not giving up on this. The show is meant to be on. I think this is a step we've got to take, that we're meant to take for us to get ourselves, you know, to the top out there. And I told you guys, man, these kind of things aren't supposed to be easy. I mean, for weekend, a weeknight guys, Matt Dean's an intern, like to all of a sudden pop you guys on like that in market six. It's just like, listen, just keep the faith. I'm going to do my best here. I believe this is meant to happen, and just keep the faith. And I don't blame you guys for having doubt. Of course, I certainly did too. But, you know, I just kept trying to go to bat for the show, and it didn't take long. It was a few weeks after that, and we did. We got the green light for it. And so we were able to finally put you guys on. You guys kept your minds right. And, you know, I'll never forget. I mean, it did not take long. I mean, you guys, the three of you guys, you, Matt, and John were really doing good stuff. And I'll never forget, man, when you guys did what people didn't think could be done except for us. And you guys beat Jim Rome in, what was it, Fred? I mean, it was less than 6 months.
It was actually the second month, because the first month we did like a 1.7, which was right behind him. And then the second month we actually beat him. And I think, you know, that was the goal at the time, because that guy was, you know, their big national show and their big midday show. And the fact that we were able to pull it off that fast, I mean, it was, you know, and then there were always months after that where it was back and forth. But yeah, it was the second month we did the show that we actually beat him for the first time.
Oh, it was awesome. And I'm telling you, and Matt Dean, I know, has Matt been on yet?
No, he'll be on at 6:30 tonight.
Yeah, and I remember Matt coming in. I swear to you, it certainly was. If it wasn't the same day that you guys won, it was like the same week. And he came in and he says, and look, man, I get it. I mean, radio's a bitch. I mean, it is not fun or fair to work your way up unless you're really, really lucky. And so I understood, like you, Fred, you know, he's like, listen, I had to kind of find something else more stable. He had just gotten married. His wife was pregnant. And he came in and he said, listen, I got to leave the show. And I said, what? Dude, you guys just beat Jim Rome. Like you guys are winning. This is not the time to be doing this, man. You guys can do this. You can be successful. He's like, dude, I get it. But I've got a baby along the way. I'm making intern money. I mean, I just, you know, he got accepted to Rice Business School, and I understood it, man. I understood it. I was sad. I did everything I could to keep him there, but I understood the situation. And that was the craziness of it, is you guys got all the way to the top there, and all of a sudden we're like, well, what are we going to do? And so at the time, our general manager would only allow me to look in market for somebody. And so we were talking different people there in town. And Raheel, you know, your guy there now, he was, remember that, Fred? He was our choice. Like all the people that we had talked to and that we had auditioned, you know, I remember Raheel auditioned because he was over 1560. Maybe he didn't. He probably couldn't have. But
no, he couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. And we verbally agreed to hire him. And I remember he went back over there to 1560, and those guys did whatever they had to do to keep him, and they kept him. And I'm going to go, man. But within that time, AJ and I were talking a bit, because he and I go all the way back to, you know, our days in Austin. And I was like, dude, I can't go out of the market. I think it could be a really good fit. You know, I can't go outside of here. This is just what the budget allows. But when Raheel stuck with 1560, that didn't just piss me off. It pissed off our GM incredibly. And he's like, all right, who do you want? And I remember saying, well, I want to give a shot to my dude, AJ. I mean, he's a little nutty out there. You know, he's a bit, he definitely can be mischievous on the air. But I believe in this guy, man. I know him. I don't know anyone who knows sports more than AJ does. He's funny. He's young. He very much kind of fits where the Matt Dean mold is. And I remember, AJ, did you come in and audition before that, or was that when we started, when you finally came in and tried out? Do you remember?
No, I didn't try out before you were cleared to do it, because we just said it was just a waste of time for me to come in.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought. I remember Fred and I, we kept talking, and Fred's like, man, your buddy AJ. I'm like, I know, but I cannot go outside of the market. And so luckily, because Raheel burned us so bad, that son of a bitch, we were able to go outside of there. And of course, I love Raheel. I'm giving him a hard time because we go all the way back to Austin and things work out the way that they're supposed to work out. And I was able to tell AJ to come in and to audition. And AJ came in, did exactly what I thought he'd do. I believe you had a Roethlisberger a rape joke, which is the biggest memory from your audition, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Fred just brought it up a couple segments ago.
And I'm sitting there like, yeah, this is our guy. And this is the fit. And we knew it right away. And Peter was competitive, man. He wasn't happy about our general manager at the time, and he thought you were great, man. I mean, you did it. You sold yourself on air and off air. And to your credit, man, for people who don't know, I mean, AJ, dude, while this was a major opportunity to go from Market 50 or whatever it was at the time in Austin, Texas, to come in here, you were doing a successful afternoon show out there. I mean, you could have stayed there probably for as long as you wished. But you knew that this was an opportunity. You were crazy enough to believe in my vision for that radio station. But, I mean, you didn't come for much, man. I mean, I don't even remember if you had insurance in this package, let alone much money at all. And you didn't give a damn, man. You believed in it. You believed in what we were doing. You believed in me. You believed in our vision to be able to go out there and win. And you came. I mean, Annie, did you have any of your boys at the time?
I had one, yeah. I had one, and I did have to fight for insurance. They finally budged on that, but yeah, the initial offer was no health insurance. I got them to budge on that. I couldn't get them to match my pay in Austin, but they at least gave me some health insurance.
I remember, and you came down for very little. I helped you move in to your place, a little apartment, out in West Houston, and. And, dude, I remember it didn't take any time at all, right, Fred? It all suddenly just like AJ came in, you did your thing like you do, and the show, I mean, it just popped. I mean, it popped immediately. And I remember, Fred, you somehow, I think as a David Barron, you saw the ratings even before I had. And you texted me, and you said, I remember I was driving down to the convention center for a remote for the afternoon show with Carl and Julie. And you texted me, you said, dude, AJ's killing it, man. We just got even higher ratings than we've even had before, and it took no time at all for you guys to basically just take off and own that midday time together. And I'm so proud of you guys. And then when Dukes ended up going to Atlanta, which I understood, man, he's out there just killing it, man. He is. I know how proud he is of you guys too. It was a no brainer, man, to put you guys in drive time. I just wasn't, as good. I wasn't good enough. We grabbed Jerome, and he and I went back into middays because I just believed in you guys a ton. And I remember, though, when we put you guys in afternoon drives, man, if y'all remember, it took a minute to get that thing running. It took some time. And one of my favorite moments, too, outside of just 2008 and this show just coming out of nowhere, was then we had a really good heart-to-heart meeting in the Gal conference room about you guys having the opportunity to be the very best in that town, but we got to dig in. Do y'all remember that meeting?
I do.
Yeah, I do, and I remember. I remember coming out of that thinking, you know what? I felt like we were letting you and the station down because our numbers had gone down, and I came out of that motivated to try to be better than ever before. And we talked about goals and writing down what our goals were going to be, and we did, and then. I think I texted you when we finally got to be number one for as long as we were. It's like, you know what, boss? Every goal that we wrote down together, we finally hit. But that was a turning point meeting for us in a really good way. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, I still have the notes. If you remember, I think I've sent them to you guys. I still have them on my phone. And you're exactly right, man. We literally we envisioned it, and you guys dug in. I remember Fred. It was so funny, man. Fred, I think Fred, right, AJ? Fred, comes into the meeting with sunglasses on. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I was great. Fred showing up hungover.
I was like, dude, take those glasses off, man. I mean, we got to talk. I mean, this show is not where we needed to be. You're not just getting smashed by everyone else on the station. I mean, in this town. And look, man, you guys can do this. And from that point, man, you guys just started to do it. and it just kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And after I moved on, you guys just kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And it's amazing the fact that you look back on what we envisioned, what we put down on paper or on that board, and I still have it in my phone. And you guys, not just one or two of those, you guys literally got all of those things accomplished. And one of those things was to be the biggest show in that town. And now here you guys are. It's the longest running show, right? Because your boys in the morning, you know, John and Lance, I mean, they don't count because they had that break in the middle there. So, I mean, or do they? I don't know. I guess maybe they do count. I guess historically, if you take all the time combined, they would be the closest thing. But as for like a nonstop running show right now, I mean, is anybody else doing what you guys are doing?
No one's even close, I don't think. I mean, at least not on the big three stations. I think that, you know, if you go to some of the small, like where there's sports shows on non-sport stations. But yeah, I think we're on the, as far as the sports stations go, I think we're the longest running. When Charlie left, I think we took over that spot.
Well, listen, man, I mean, what I love the most about this show, and I tell people this, if it was in Nebraska or here now in Colorado, I bring you all up because and it's a beautiful thing to be talking about this now, because obviously there's challenging times for people now, but dude, the story, the thing I'm thinking to myself today when y'all reached out and asked me to come on, like the word that popped into my head about, you know, what this show is about, man, this show is about surviving. I mean, you all just believed in it. Y'all found ways to handle all these different challenges that came around, all the different doubt that we could actually get ourselves to where we were meant to be. Got kicked in the junk a number of times along the way. But overall, man, just kept believing in what y'all could do there, and the other side of this thing was getting yourselves to the top. And this show has been nothing about surviving. There's no show like it anywhere else in the country. And Fred, I don't know if you have 10 years left in life, probably not. But I would say I hope you guys are able to get to another 10 years as long as Fred's able to stay healthy. Because you guys are survivors, man. You guys are. You're tough-minded. You believed in yourselves. You took feedback. And you wanted to win, and you put the work in to win. And it's just it's awesome to see this day here. And I know you guys have a lot of good things left to go. And I love you guys to death, man. You guys are survivors. It's a beautiful story.
Well, we love you too, man. We'll always appreciate you putting the show together and nurturing it through some hard times. I mean, I know there were times where I'm sure Fred did too, came in your office and said, you made a mistake. This isn't going to work. And to your credit, you kept telling me, hey, stick with this. We're going to make it work. And we certainly did.
Yeah, you did, man. And I love you guys. And Fred, I'm proud of you. But I'm telling you, man, one of the best things, too, is like you take so much crap on that show. One of my favorite moments is AJ goofing on your tar black dyed hair. And you just, you over and over again, man, you take it because I know you believe in yourself and you know the role on that show, and you sit there and you put up with that ass that is AJ Hoffman. And it's just the chemistry you all have, man. I've said in radio, I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to find and be grateful for what you have. There's no guarantees on the other side of things. And I know deep down you guys love each other, and whenever this thing ends, and it will, like everything does, you guys are going to look back and realize how special this was. I think you guys are certainly doing that now. And I just, if I can, man, that to that city, dude, I love you guys out there so much, and the love you've shown to that radio station as a whole is really what brought that thing out of nowhere to all the years that it's been there now. And I just give everybody out there my best wishes with their health. And look at your boys, Fred and AJ, and you're looking for something to inspire you to survive. I mean, this is what these guys have been doing. And I just encourage everybody out there, man, if your head goes into the well with some negativity, like it's easy to do these days, man, find something to believe in, and you'll be able to get yourselves through it. I mean, that's what these guys did, and everybody out there, I miss you all, and I wish you nothing but the best.
All right, that's Dave Tepper. Always a pleasure having you on, man. Continued to success to you out there in Colorado. I always see you doing great things out there, programming that station. And we'll always appreciate you for putting us on, man.
Nah, nothing but love for you guys, man. You guys did it. I gave you guys the opportunity and a little bit of guidance, but ultimately you guys are the ones that executed the plays, and I'm proud of you. Hey, this is the day we said we'd be here, right? Even back in the days that were tough, and that's a really good thing about being able to picture where things can end up. You guys are walking proof of that. So I love you guys. It's great to see Aaron there, part of the show now. I love you, John. You're a big part of this thing, and Matt Dean, too. I mean, it's just it's a beautiful story, man. I love all you guys out there.
Well, I just want to leave you with one thing, Dave, because you talk about how me taking all the grief that I take on the air. There's one thing you told me early on. It's like, no matter how bad a day you're having, somebody out there is having a worse one, entertain them. So if it means making, you know, being made fun of your hair or whatever else, if you're making somebody laugh, you're doing your job, and that's always stuck with me. So can't thank you enough for everything you've done for us. And I think I've said, if I weren't here, there's no other person I'd rather work with on the planet than you. And I hope you keep kicking ass up there. And once we can travel again, I promise you I'm going to come see you.
Fred, come out here. Tell me, though, do you have 10 more years of life? Do you? I mean, I see some of your pictures, and I go, Fred, do you have 10 more years?
I'm working on it. I'm motivated. I think I've got at least 7, maybe.
So. Okay. Okay.
We'll see.
Keep running those marathons. Keep making sure that wife gives you all the sex that you need at that house, that dog, whatever it is, man, because you guys can continue to make this thing another 10 years, Fred, as long as you don't drop dead on us.
I'll do my best, sir.
That's all I've ever asked, gentlemen.
All right, Tepper, we'll talk to you again. We'll talk to you in our 15-year.
Let's do it.
All right.
Man, I love that guy, Dave Tepper. And I know that voice is missed on Houston airwaves, but man, he's doing such great things. He did great work in Omaha, and now he's doing it in Colorado. And always a pleasure to have him on. Let's take a quick break.
David Gow on the other side.
Oh, how about that? The hits just keep coming. All right, it's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.